All right, we will direct your attention to the message this morning. Hope that you took a fill-in sheet as you came in today and write these truths down as we go forward. Now, today is the second message of what we started last week, and we are talking about intrusions and interruptions. Intrusions, interruptions. Last week we talked about intrusions. This morning I want to talk about interruptions. Now, just to review quickly, the definition to intrude is to thrust oneself or something upon another without permission. Trespassing upon the rights or privileges of others to their disadvantage or harm. To interrupt is to break in unexpectedly without welcome. To break the continuity of an activity, such as a conversation or course of action. It forces a redirection. Now, the first point I would say to you is don't confuse interruptions with intrusions. They're very close. There's much that they have in common. But as we said in the definition, to intrude, it's the trespassing on the rights or privileges of others to their disadvantage. So intrusions can be negative, as we have presented it here. But an interruption is to break something unexpectedly, without welcome. We didn't invite it. We didn't know it was going to happen. And it breaks the continuity of an activity or a conversation or, of course, of action. And it causes a redirection. But the redirection may be beneficial and something that is needed. And so we need to be able to differentiate between an interruption and an intrusion. Now, it's confusing because we use these same phrases for both. We talk about people barging in on us, or someone's muscling in, or someone's infringing on my rights, or someone's overstepped. Someone has butted in. There's lots of expressions we use. Someone's horned in. Someone chiseled in on this. And so we use this both for intrusions, but interruptions start the same way. And here's what I would encourage you to be able to do is to discern the difference. Now, here's the amazing thing. You can turn an intrusion into an interruption that is beneficial for you. Because as we saw last week, we need to guard against, or let's put it this way. There are things that happen to us that's just part of life. And we need to be able to realize what Satan means for evil, God can turn it for good. And so a lot of it is our response to what we're going through. Something can intrude, but if you respond in the right way, it actually turns that thing for good in your life. It is still an interruption, but it doesn't have to be for our harm. But most of us, here's the next point, most of us guard against interruptions. We don't want anything to disturb or uproot our lives. We want it to go on an even keel. We want to plan out our life, and we want everything just to happen the way that I expect it to. So we don't want interruptions, but interruptions would be good. Listen, we want God to intervene in our lives, don't we? But I tell you, most times God intervenes in our life, it's an interruption. He's intervening by interrupting. And if you guard against interruptions, you're actually guarding against what God wants to do in your life. And so we need to guard against intrusions, but we need to welcome interruptions. Now, as I just did a search on interruptions this week as I was preparing for this, it was interesting. Everything that comes up online when you talk about handling interruptions, it always presupposes that the interruption is a bad thing. You know, it talks about how you should avoid interruptions at work or in conversations or in presentations. People are going to interrupt. There's going to things that they're going to, it's going to interrupt with your goals and what you want to accomplish, and so you need to guard against interruptions. And I suppose this is true in the natural, but we need to see if we do that, our life is not going to change for the better either. And that there are good interruptions that we need to embrace, not just guard against. Now, rules change, don't they? Most of us are old enough to realize when you called someone on the phone, they didn't think it was an interruption. Now, you may have interrupted them, but they didn't say, oh, why did you interrupt me? They just sort of took it as normal. Yeah, you're going to get calls. Interestingly, today, it's not polite to just call someone. You should text them first. Is this a good time for a call? And the younger generation is much more this way. In fact, I remember Kay had called one of the grandkids, and they weren't there, and it went to a voicemail. And then they got back, and they said, Grandma, why didn't you text me? Why did you call? And, well, rules change. You know, we just call people. But the rules change. They'll little be a little more polite is to text first. Well, the world constantly is shifting. And I suppose before we go any further in this message, here's some of the things that we should remember just to be polite as we might interrupt someone else's life. And the first thing is that you need to recognize that the other person has priorities, they have activities, and you need to ask yourself, will I interrupt what they're doing? Next thing you should realize, don't startle the other person. Just don't startle them. You know, our doors at our homes have a doorbell. You just don't barge in. You ring the doorbell, say, I'm here, will you let me in? Even some Zoom calls, they put you in the entry room, and you have to wait for someone to admit you. So here, the whole matter is of just sort of being polite, recognize other people's priorities. And when you do talk to them, appeal to their objectives and not just project yourself on it. Say, here's, I understand this is what you are planning to do and this is what you want to accomplish. So let me interrupt and just ask if what you're doing is really going to do that. And so as you interrupt someone at work or whatever, make sure you're appealing to their objectives, not your own. And then wait just for a response. Choose your words carefully. And here's a final one that is a biblical principle. It tells us to sow in peace. Whenever you're sowing an opinion, you're sowing some contribution to someone else, you wanting to inform them about something. The Bible says that you should sow in peace. If it's not a peaceful situation, folks, then whatever you say is not going to be received. It's going to be caught in the wind and just blown away. And so when you have a good relationship with someone, and if you sort of follow all these guidelines, then we can have a beneficial interruption in the life of someone else. So let me just lay that as a foundation. Now we're going to move on and more to the side of how do you handle this interruption? Not that you're interrupting, but how do you handle interruptions in your life? Now, we mentioned, I think, this last week, but let me just say it again here in your notes. Satan initiates and uses intrusions. The Holy Spirit initiates and uses interruptions. As I've already said, the Holy Spirit wants to interrupt your life because he wants to do good things in you. We're not perfect. We don't have the good idea about everything. And so he will interrupt us. Something will tap on your shoulder. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, is it an audible voice? Not necessarily. Just as Jesus walked on earth, it said he reached out his hand and touched people. How would the Lord reach out his hand and tap you on the shoulder? It might be another person, a member of the body of Christ, who is actually tapping on your shoulder. What is he doing? He's getting your attention because you're intent on something else. And so you need to realize God, through His Holy Spirit, will initiate and use interruptions, but it's always for our good. Satan will intrude in our life, and it's for our harm. Now, we mentioned that last week. He intrudes by giving us lies, telling us lies about something. He plants a thought into your mind that's disruptive, something that will be harmful to you. And you need to guard against those thoughts that Satan plants in your life and counteract it with the truth. And we did the whole message last week based on that. But I want us to see today, it starts the same way. Something's interrupted. It's causing me to be disturbed in some way. Something's pushing in on my life uninvited. And you need to realize it may be the Holy Spirit. And so in the midst of the interruption, you need to look to the Lord. Now, actually, every intrusion can be turned to a beneficial interruption when you really stop to think about it. Satan may mean it for evil, but God turns it for good. So even the intrusions of Satan, if you respond properly, can be beneficial in your life. And so the interruptions that come your way will depend a lot on how you handle them. The outcome will be based on how you respond. It's possible that, not possible, it's true, that God is more concerned about how you respond to something than what you go through. You may be going through something and you're concerned about what you're going through, but the Lord is concerned about how you respond to what you go through. Because He will use every interruption, every intrusion, every disturbance in your life for good if you will allow Him to. And if you just open your heart to this. So the point I put in your notes is guard against intrusions, but be open to interruptions. And maybe we can even say, be sure to turn every intrusion into a beneficial interruption. Now, just life happens to us. We read it earlier in the portion when we did the prayer time. Things are just going to happen. We're going to be knocked about. Things are going to come into our life. Life doesn't always go the way that you expected or you wanted. I came across this one writing by a mother, and I think you can identify with it today if you're a mother, and many of us as well. She writes, "My life is filled with interruptions, inconveniences, frustrations, unexpected events. Things break. Accidents happen. The phone rings just as I climb into bed. Traffic makes me late. Just when we don't need another added expense, an appliance breaks. Unexpected illnesses change my carefully crafted plans." I could go on and on. You could go on and on. You could add to this list. And I tell you, folks, it is a source of frustration if you don't handle interruptions well. If you just feel like this should not be happening to me, you'll get frustrated. You'll get annoyed. You'll get discouraged. There's so many negative things that come out of interruptions if you don't handle it right. If you don't see a bigger picture, if you don't see that God is behind these things, then these things that on the surface looks like they're really not good actually have a purpose that can happen in your life. In other words, they're not random. This is just not happening without any kind of design. And this is, I don't know how people live their life if they don't believe in God. Because then life would be completely random. Things that happen to you, you are a victim of so many things. Oh, why did it happen to me? Why did it happen to me? I mean, that's just, I don't know how you get away from that unless you believe in God. Then nothing is random. When you commit your life to the Lord, He is guiding you. And just as the portion we read at the prayer time, lots of things are going to press in. Lots of things are causing you to die inside. But the scripture said that dying produces a life of God that's going to come forth and manifest to others. We have an earthen vessel that's subject to all the difficulties, but there's a treasure inside that's shining forth in the light in the midst of all this. I mean, this is a powerful truth. That is a life-changing truth. You embrace that truth, I don't just mean in your mind, but in your heart. It'll change your life. It will give you a peace that goes beyond all understanding. It's just realizing life is not random. Things that I thought were meaningless are really a divine appointment. That God is working in the midst of us. And that the Lord is concerned about something bigger than my circumstance. He's working in an area of shining forth to this world. He wants us to take our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances and put it on Him. And to seek the Lord every moment and every day and every circumstance that we go through. Now, here's the next point. Much of Jesus' ministry and miracles were as a result of an interruption. Now, if anyone should not have been interrupted, it's Jesus. I mean, He is perfect. He has the mind of God. He only does the things that He sees the Father do. He only says the things He hears the Father say. Just let Him alone. Just let Him live His life. Let Him do what He wants to do because He's perfect and He's got a plan. So there should be no interruptions. And if any interruptions came, Jesus would certainly push them away. Because anything He had predetermined to do would be better than what anything could come to interrupt me. Or is it? It's amazing when you read the scripture how His ministry and His miracles came out of interruptions, stopping Him from doing what He was going to do, quieting what He was saying for the interruption. Amazing. I just wrote some of them in the scripture here, or in your notes. While preaching, the roof falls in. Now, you could say that Jesus preached the house down, but it wasn't so much His preaching, but four individuals is bringing a friend to where Jesus was. Now, listen, what Jesus was saying was important. It was important enough, it grew a crowd. It was such a crowd they couldn't get close. People were saying to each other, you need to come hear this. No one's ever spoken like this man's spoken. Let's listen. They were listening. You got to imagine that Jesus was saying words that God wanted to speak to that group of people. And so Jesus is preaching, and in the midst of this, dust starts falling. Splinters start falling down. It said they opened up the roof. Daylight started coming in. They lowered this man down before him. Now what does Jesus do? He goes with the interruption. He stops his message. He converses with the man. He forgives his sins. You can read this. He goes on and heals the man. Here's how it's worded. I should read the scripture here. And when they could not come near Him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, when the story is recorded, it's interesting. It records the interruption, but it doesn't record the message that Jesus was speaking. It was like the interruption was to be recorded, but the message Jesus was preaching, though powerful and wonderful, was never recorded for us. It just speaks of the power of an interruption. It's amazing. Now here's the next one. While traveling, Jesus was stopped. Here's what it says in Mark 10, 48 to 49. As he's walking, he's coming out of Jerusalem or out of Jericho. This man's on the side of the road, he's crying out. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood there, or Jesus stood still, and commanded him to be called. So Jesus again, and the disciples are telling the man as they're going, "Hey, be quiet. You know, we're passing through here. Don't disturb us. We're going somewhere." Jesus has a destination he's traveling to. You got to believe it was the right destination. It was a good destination. But he's going somewhere. And he stops. And he calls for the man to come to him. And he heals the man. He converses with the man. The disciples' attitude was, "Don't bother Jesus. Don't interrupt." I wonder how we are with the cries of people around us for help. We're traveling with Jesus. Why must I be interrupted? Someone else can handle this. I mean, Jesus gave the parable about the priest who walks by the man that's hurting. And the Levite that walks by the man. But it's the Good Samaritan, the one you wouldn't expect. He meets the need. It's so easy. See, we're disciples, aren't we? These were disciples. They were traveling with Jesus. We're traveling with Jesus. Jesus is taking us. We have plans. We have purposes. Our day's laid out. We know what we want to do for the Lord. Now, what's this cry happening here at the site? We could be like the disciples and say, "I don't want the interruption. Be quiet." But Jesus does just the opposite. He says, "Bring it. Bring the interruption to me." You know, it's easy for me to speak these things, but put yourself on the road with Jesus, the road you're on. The life you're living today and tomorrow and where you work and where you go and where you travel with the Lord. I mean, you've invited the Lord to go with you, I'm sure. You're trying to follow the Lord. But as you're following the Lord, what's the distraction? You think it's a distraction. And you don't want to be interrupted. But I want you to know, again, the interruption is recorded in the scripture for us to know. Because it's very, really, really important that we understand and we keep the right attitude. Now, here's the next one. One interruption interrupted another interruption. One interruption interrupted another interruption. Jesus is going about his business, going about his schedule, is what he was going to do. And Jairus comes to him, interrupts him. And says, "Jesus, my daughter is sick. Would you come and heal her?" Jesus doesn't say, "Well, sort of busy right now. Have some other plans. I'd certainly love to. I really would want to come. But I don't see how I can work it in my schedule." He doesn't do this. He goes to go with Jesus. He follows the interruption. Okay, we will go to your house. Now let's just pick up the scripture here as we're reading this. Mark 5, 23, 25, 27, 28. Jairus says, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." So Jesus went with him. And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I may be made well. So Jesus is interrupted. He's going with the first interruption to Jairus' house. As he's going to Jairus' house, here's this lady who has faith and need, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She reaches in as he's traveling and touches the hem. Now Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? The disciples think he's really needing a little more sleep. They say to Jesus, listen, everybody's touching you. He's being jostled in the crowd. And you said, who touched me? And Jesus said, I perceive power go out from me. Somebody, you see, you can jostle with Jesus, and then you can touch him. You need to reach through and touch him. Jesus is open to the touch. A simple touch. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She touched him. He stops. He says, who touched? If you read the whole portion, it says she comes and owns up to it. And she says, I touched you. And she tells him how she'd been to many, many physicians and all this. And he talks to and converses with her. And he says, your faith has made you whole. Can you imagine Jairus? He's sort of at the side. You know, he's waiting. You know, Jesus, my daughter is sick unto death. We've got to get there. We've got to get to where my daughter is. And he's waiting as Jesus handles this interruption. And sure enough, when Jesus finishes talking to the lady, people come from Jairus' house and says, it's too late. Your daughter's passed away. She's died. Don't trouble the master any further. Your interruption was interrupted. Now something bad has come out of it. And Jesus says, if you read the whole story here, he says to Jairus, don't be concerned. We're going on to your house. She's going to be okay. So he goes and you see he enters into the house. He prays. He raises Jairus' daughter to life. Now, rather than just being a healing, now a tremendous miracle. It goes out through the whole countryside that Jesus raised this little girl from the dead. Do you see again, as we talked earlier about, we're pushed about, jostled on every side, but not to despair. I mean, God's working something in this, that the glory of God would come forth through this, that the life of God would be manifested. Jesus is taking interruption upon interruption, and we might think it's not good, but Jesus is working good because he's in the middle of it. And he's receiving every interruption. It's not like the lady came and he says, you know what? You got to wait your turn. I'm going to Jairus' house right now. Do you see how the Lord is constantly open to interruptions? The scripture is trying to tell us something here. Are you hearing what the scripture is saying? Are you hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying today? I wonder if we could just pause in this moment. And if you just raise one hand to the Lord, and would you just take your other hand and put it on your heart? Father, right now, in this simple moment, as we hear your word, we want to reach out to receive what you're saying to us, what you're saying to me. And Lord, open my heart that it would be receptive. May this message interrupt my life, Lord. May its truth change me so that your glory would shine forth. I pray that for myself, for every member here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if that's enough, let's not even talk about kids. That's your next one, children. I mean, children are unfiltered. Children have no reservation. they interrupt. How many times, if you've had kids, you know, you've said to them, don't interrupt me right now. Honey, I'm talking right now. Would you just wait? I'm doing something right now. Would you just wait? And they're tugging and they're pulling. They're interrupting children. It was no less in the time of Jesus. Listen to what it says in Mark 10. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But again, the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, listen to this, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." He welcomed the interruption of children. Well, they're not important. Well, they're not as significant. There's more important things. And it even said in another place they were infants. Well, they don't even understand. They won't even remember that Jesus blessed them. But the disciples, discerning all this, says this is just an interruption, so we should push it to the side. But Jesus was displeased and said, let him come. Does this speak to you? How do we prioritize interruptions? What we think are worthy of our attention and those who could be dismissed out of hand? Who are the ones that are less mature than we are? Don't have as much knowledge or spiritual growth we have. And boy, they're a high maintenance person. Just taking a lot of my time here. Jesus welcomes every interruption that comes his way. In fact, I don't remember any time when he didn't allow an interruption. Because he realized he came to seek and to save those that were lost. It wasn't just to put forth a philosophy. It wasn't just to do the things that he had predetermined. He was walking in this world and he was walking among his people and he was open to their interruptions. Can we take on the same demeanor that we're walking with Jesus and the things that are coming and pressing in on us rather than just assessing that as unimportant and I should push this aside to get on with better things? Or can we say, Lord, help me to embrace this interruption for your honor and for your glory? So here's the next question in your notes. Who will you allow to interrupt you? I mean, who will you allow to interrupt you? What could interrupt your plans, your schedule? What could interrupt how you plan to spend your time, your money? What could interrupt that? Who will you allow to interrupt you? Jesus was interrupted by everyone that cried out to him, everyone that reached out to him, had a need or a longing. He never stopped. Till the very last hours of his life, he's hanging on the cross. Now he's doing what he came for. I mean, for this he was born. He came to save the world from their sins. I mean, if there's ever a time when, don't interrupt me, I am doing what I came to do, and this is important. I'm handling a lot of stuff here. He's interrupted. The thief cries out to him. And he says, Lord, let me be with you when you come into your kingdom. Now, the Lord could have said, don't bother me. I'm doing that right now. I'm dying for your sins. I'm bearing them. It's okay. You know, you're going to be taken care of. You know, just leave me alone. But he stops and he converses with the, and he says, you know what? Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. It's like he took the time to just settle that man's anxiety. And he, rather than saying, I am dying for this, I have all this, you know, what you're going through has nothing to, you know, I'm ham. No, he stops and he talks to the man. This speaks to me. Jesus never turned away an interruption. He embraced it and he ministered to it. Now, here's the next point. This is a powerful one. Jesus interrupted the lives of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Listen to what it says here in Luke 10:38. As they went on their way, they came to a town where a woman named Martha lived. Martha had a sister named Mary. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to all he said. Martha was working hard getting the supper ready. She came to Jesus and said, "Do you see that my sister's not helping me? Tell her to help me. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Only a few things are important. Even just one. Mary has chosen the good thing. It will not be taken away from her." Now, Jesus and his disciples are coming into the town, and they stop. They drop in at Martha's house. I'm sure he didn't text ahead. They just dropped in. Now, Martha, I'm sure, welcomed it. It was an intrusion, but it's okay. It's Jesus. And he's here, and so I can show how much I love Jesus by serving him a wonderful meal. We'll be hospitable. They're tired. I'm going to make it right. It's all right. I welcome the intrusion. I'm going to actually turn it to something that's good because I'm going to minister to the Lord. And so she goes about the interruption as, okay, here's my priorities. Here's how I see things. Here's how I think we will minister to Jesus. And so, you know, we're going to go about it. So she gets right to work, and she's busy. She's probably thinking, okay, I don't have enough of this. How am I going to feed so many? I mean, I'm sure many of you listening, you've gone through the same thing at certain times. How do I put this meal together? The house is a little messy, but, you know, we're going to have to live with that. We didn't know they were coming. They come in. And so she's thinking. Now, as she's busy in all of this, she looks in, and there's Mary. She's not helping her. She's not with the program. She doesn't know what the Lord has dropped in for. And so, you know, she says, and she gets so agitated that she interrupts Jesus. The words Jesus is saying. He says, "Jesus, obviously you're not noticing what I'm noticing. And you don't you care that my sister is not helping me? Would you tell her to help me?" Here's what Jesus says. "Martha, Martha, Martha." Martha's so agitated. She's so upset. She's criticizing Mary. She's condemning Mary. She's complaining about Mary. Because Mary doesn't understand. Mary's not getting with the program. Mary doesn't understand why Jesus is here. And he's here for us to minister to him. And she's troubled. And he just says, "Martha, Martha, Martha, just calm down. You're worried about a lot of stuff. But really, there's only a few things that's important. In fact, one thing, and Mary's found that right now. It's not going to be taken from her. What irritates you?" Jesus has come to your house. He's interrupted your life, as it were. And maybe there is an interruption. And you're viewing and you're welcoming it. You know what? I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't think this illness would come. I didn't think this financial problem would come along. There's so many different interruptions that come into her life, and you're worried about it, and you're figuring out how God would want to meet that need. You look around, other people don't seem to have any interest. They're not calling you. They're not concerned like you are. They just don't have your priorities. And you're getting upset, and it's bothering you, and you're losing your peace and you're just turning over and over and you're complaining to the Lord, why doesn't the church, or why doesn't that person, or why doesn't my spouse? And we're so agitated. You know what the Lord is saying to you? I'll put my name in. Ken. Just stop for a moment. Just think. This is not really what's important. What's really important here? How many times has the Lord spoken your name? He's called your name. And he's just calling it, and he's calling it. He's just calm down, just calm down. Boy, this speaks to me. You need to realize you cannot frame the interruption in your own way. You just have to say, Lord, what is the important thing you're trying to do here? Mary had found it. Jesus was more concerned that Mary would come in and we'd be open spiritually and receiving something than all the periphery things of how the house looked and what the meal was like. But we get so caught up in our own frame of what we think God wants to do. We do it framed by our giftings and our passion and our priorities, and we impose it on other people. And as a result, we're not flexible. We're not loving. We're not kind. We are actually distorting what God wants to do in busyness, in effort, and we're not relaxing. I mean, these are powerful, powerful truths that we need to grasp and understand. I think the only way you can do it is respond when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Martha. And that's your next point. We should schedule self-imposed interruptions. We should schedule self-imposed interruptions. I mean, you just have to stop sometime and think about things. In the Bible, they're laid out as the Sabbath. Just take one day a week and just stop all your busyness. And just wait on the Lord, just as we're doing here. That's just common. That's just hear what God would say to us. But it's got to be more than just hearing a message. It's opening your heart and then reflecting on it and meditating on it. It's having a quiet time every day. It's a time of just stilling yourself in the presence of the Lord and opening your ear. Self-imposed interruptions of your life, the busyness of life. If you don't, you're going to miss it. You're going to be like Martha, scurrying all over and not really understanding what the Lord wants. So bring those things upon yourself. Here's the next one. Put up a guard against intrusions, but lower your guard to interruptions. You know, a God-given, unexpected interruption has no power to damage your life. You just have to see the bigger picture. If you view an interruption as an intrusion, you treat the person as a trespasser. People are not trespassing in your life. They have a need, and the Lord's allowing them to interrupt your life. And just follow the leading of God's Spirit. I got to balance this by saying there were times when Jesus withdrew to pray. So it's not that I never put boundaries around my life. No, we're human. There's always boundaries. But the underlying heart is I'm open to interruptions. And maybe I need to withdraw and meditate in this self-imposed interruption in my life just to refresh so I can be a better conduit of God's presence to people. But it always a focus on other people. It's not a focus on ourselves. You see, we want to be on a freeway, on the interstate, on an expressway. And the expressway has no intersections. There's no stoplights. I can get on it and I can just go. We want life to be like that. But the Lord doesn't plan our life that way. He takes us the scenic route. He takes us the back roads. You're going to have stop signs, and you're going to have to go through little villages of people. And you're going to see things you wouldn't see otherwise. He wants to get you off of your throughway, where everything is just the way I thought and how I planned, and God, you better meet my prayers because I have it all laid out. And you just need to say, you know what? Interruptions are going to come, and it's God-given. And I can't plan it. I don't know. They're not random. He's in control. And I just need to embrace it and say, God, what do you want to do? What's the good thing in this? And I want to receive that good thing you have out of it. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You can just thank him in everything. Here's your last point, and it sort of summarizes it all. God isn't looking at the clock, but at your character. He's transforming you. He's making you more and more a vessel he can use. He wants you to die to yourself so the life of Christ would come forth. So just realize life is not going to be the way I planned it. It's going to be full of interruption, just as Jesus' life was full of interruption upon interruption. I found this quote by C.S. Lewis. Just close with this. It's in your notes. The great thing is, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending one day by day. If you can embrace that truth and say, Lord, my life's not my own. And it's when I get up in the morning, oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to interrupt my life today, but you're going to be in it. And Lord, help me to respond in the way that you want me to. And God will use us for his honor and glory. Shall we stand together this morning? I pray for us again. Lord, I pray that this message would be an interruption of our life, our thinking, our expectation. May your word find entrance to our heart today. Lord, may we hear more and more your voice calling our name. It's just repeating our name and trying to get our attention. Telling us that we're worried about a lot of things that we don't need to worry about. May we find that one good thing, and may we press into it with all of our hearts. May our lives count for you, Lord. May you receive glory and honor through all that we say and do. I pray for this people, that we would walk this life that you want us to walk, embracing every interruption, and capitalizing on it for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Let